A few months later, another 4th ID soldier, the staff sergeant overseeing the interrogation section at the division's main detainee holding pen in Tikrit, was reprimanded after an Iraqi was beaten with a baton while being questioned. These acts could bring extreme discredit upon the U.S. Army, Lieutenant Colonel Conrad Christman, the commander of the 104th Military Intelligence Battalion, warned him in writing on November 6. The incidents of abuse of the detainee, his letter added, show a lack of supervisory judgment on your part. Surprisingly, the sergeant hurled those very conclusions straight back at his chain of command. His detailed and eloquent response amounted to a powerful critique of the U.S. Army's entire approach to Iraq. What previous cases of abuse had implied, he now stated explicitly. The Army wasn't prepared for this mission, so soldiers were being trained, equipped, and led poorly. With the exception of myself, all interrogators at the TFIHICE, Task Force Iron Horse Interrogation Control Element, were and most remain inexperienced at actual interrogation, wrote the sergeant. The division's intelligence efforts generally were cursory, he added, because of insufficient personnel, time, and resources. Nor had the Army prepared the sergeant and his soldiers for the job they'd been assigned. Our unit has never trained for detention facility operations because our unit is neither designed nor intended for this mission. My soldiers are assigned a mission for which they have not trained, are not manned, are not equipped, are not supplied, and cannot effectively accomplish. What's more, he wrote, the institutional Army hadn't even taken the proper steps to prepare for this kind of war. To my knowledge, no field manual covers counterinsurgency interrogation operations. But most striking from this NCO was a lengthy denunciation of the strategic confusion of those leading the Army in Iraq. This was, after all, not a stately war college symposium or a retired colonel pondering the past in the quiet of his study, but a staff sergeant writing in the field under near-combat conditions, responding to a formal admonition issued 3 days earlier. He laid the mess squarely at the feet of General Odierno and other top officers in the 4th ID. I firmly believe that, name of subordinate soldier redacted in document, took the actions he did partially due to his perception of the command climate of the division as a whole. Comments made by senior leaders regarding detainees such as, they are not enemy prisoners of war, they are terrorists and will be treated as such, have caused a great deal of confusion as to the status of detainees. In Iraq, the NCO also reported signs of U.S. forces practicing a form of hostage-taking, detaining family members of suspected insurgents in order to compel those suspects to surrender. Personnel at the ICE regularly see detainees who are, in essence, hostages, he charged. They are normally arrested by coalition forces because they are family of individuals who have been targeted by a brigade based on accusations that may or may not be true, to be released supposedly when and if the targeted individual surrenders to coalition forces. In fact, the U.S. tended not to keep its end of the bargain because the detention system was so badly operated. In reality, these detainees are transferred to Abu Ghraib prison and become lost in the coalition detention system regardless of whether the targeted individual surrenders himself. This coercive taking of such prisoners had at least the tacit approval of senior leaders in the division, he said, because it had been discussed in front of them at briefings. The military intelligence commander, Christman, impressed by the staff sergeant's arguments, came to think that it would be wrong to fault him for lack of supervision, and so decided against making the written reprimand part of the staff sergeant's permanent record. It became apparent to me that since we were dealing with far too many detainees for the small number of personnel and the limited facilities we had available, a close supervisory relationship was not feasible, he later explained.